your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. I am employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. This show is for educational purposes only. We inform you that any U.S. federal or state tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to be specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation under any circumstance. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney. Welcome to Your Financial Choices, everybody. With Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP, good evening. Welcome to the show. So what's different? Lori is not here this evening. Lori is on vacation, well-deserved. This is Rod Young, CPA, CFP, giving Lori a break tonight. I've been on the show before a number of times, either hosting in Lori's place when she's been away, or as a guest a number of times with Lori. So it's great to be back. I look forward to our show tonight. And she's I've said this, I think, every time I come on the show. She's a tough act to follow. She's a real professional at this. So, give me a little bit of slack tonight. I do this three times a year. She's a very tough act to follow. But it's great to be here. So you have us live on the radio tonight. And remember that we're on the web at www.yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online at wdiy.org. So again, good evening, everybody. Today is Wednesday, July 23rd. The markets, quick update on the financial markets for today. They were mixed today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 17,086.63. That's down 26.91 points today, or 0.16%. So the Dow down a little bit today. The NASDAQ index was up today. It was at 4,473.7. That was up 17.68 points, or in percentage terms, it was up 0.4% today. So a small increase for the NASDAQ today. And same for the S&P 500 index. It closed up today at 1,987.01. That was up 2.48 points, or 0.18%. So not too much net movement on the various indexes today. Year-to-date in 2014, we certainly have seen some good overall growth in the equity markets. Following up on what was a very strong 2013, the Dow this year-to-date is up 3.93%. The S&P 500 is up 9.38%, and the NASDAQ composite is up 7.98%. So that's a quick update on the financial markets for today. As you're aware, if you're a listener, a regular listener, we cover a variety of financial planning topics on this show. I know that over the past few weeks, Lori's topics have included Social Security, which, by the way, I think that show she did last week on Social Security was an excellent show. I understand she had quite a few callers, and it is a very important topic to many of us, particularly as you get closer to that, those golden years, so to speak. So I know she covered that last week. I think 2 weeks ago she talked about losing or leaving a job. She's recently talked about cash flow and managing it. So we really can go all over the place on this show in terms of the topics that we cover. So Lori had mentioned to me that a theme that she has been following a bit this summer is a theme of pay attention. The idea being to take some time to educate yourself as you are making financial decisions and paying particular attention to some of the details and nuances of the decisions you're making. So in keeping with that theme, I've titled tonight's show, Pay Attention. It's time for a mid-year financial checkup. So we are a little over halfway into 2014. You know, as I thought about tonight's show, you know, it came to mind that time does seem to move by very quickly at times. Our lives can be very busy. And I know for many of us, and myself included, it's very easy to kind of let financial issues go by the wayside and take a back seat to other areas of life. So I thought this theme of pay attention, we're just going to kind of run through a hit list or checklist of some things that you might want to just think about and pay attention to as part of, a mid-year checkup, things that maybe you kind of put on a list of things to do between, now and the end of the year. I know that you're going to be taking notes fast and furious during the show, but just in case you don't take notes, we will post an outline of the show on the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. And the good news is you do have almost 6 months left in the year to try to tackle some of the items on this list. Remember, we are a live call-in show. We really do welcome your calls. Ready to talk for the next hour, but would love to hear some questions and engage in some conversation. Your question does not have to be on the topic I'm talking about. Feel free to call in with any financial-related question, and we'll see how if we can help you. The number, I suppose you need a number to call into. So the number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Judy Ann is here this evening. She will take your call, and you're welcome to join me live and ask your questions, or you can pass the question on to Judy Ann, and she will give it to me, and I'll do my best to cover it. You're also welcome to email your questions in to yourfinancialchoices.com. Okay. So let's get going on the topic. Again, my name is Rod Young. And I am a CPA, like Lori, I am a CPA and certified financial planner. So let's dive into this mid-year financial checklist. Many of the items that I'm going to touch upon are items that we have done entire shows on in the past, and I'm sure that we're going to do entire shows on them in the future. I'm going to touch upon some things at a very high level, maybe dig a little bit on some of them, and maybe give you a little bit of homework to try to go through this mid-year checkup. The list I'm going to go through is in no particular order. So the first item I'm going to talk about, it's an item that affects many of us, and that's our employer's retirement plan. Many of us, in our jobs, our employers offer a 401k savings plan or a 403b retirement plan. I think it's really important to pay attention to this plan and learn some of the details regarding your 401k plan. There are a number of items to pay attention to within these plans. And so where's the place to start? How do you really, if you're feeling like you don't know enough about your 401k plan, maybe you don't know anything about your 401k plan, so where do you start? And so there's a document out there that you should be able to obtain from your employer called a summary plan description. It's typically a document that we're given, the first week that we, become employed with the company, and, we get a lot of things at that point in time as, with a new job, and you glance through it, stick it off to the side, and, intend to forget about it. So the summary plan document or summary plan description is a very important document because it really does have all of the operating rules, all of the nuts and bolts that you need to know about your 401k plan. So what are the important things that you do need to know about the 401k plan? What are some of those things we should be focusing on and paying attention to? So first and foremost is understanding if your employer offers a company matching contribution. And what a matching contribution is if you put money into the 401k plan, the employer will match it in a certain way. And so at a minimum, and I strongly encourage this, At a minimum, you want to participate in your 401k plan at a percentage level that maximizes the company matching contribution. Because, folks, the matching contribution is instant rate of return, free money, and you're leaving money on the table by not taking advantage of that. We're going to go to a quick break and pick up this topic in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
Hi, everyone. Rod Young here, hosting in place of Lori Siebert tonight on Your Financial Choices. The number to call if you have a question is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we're paying attention tonight, folks. We're paying attention to a mid-year financial checkup, and we're talking about your employer's retirement plan and how you have to maximize that matching contribution. And, you know, I don't want to oversimplify this, but just to give you an example, you know, let's say your salary, let's say your salary is $100,000 and your employer matches 100% of the first 2% that you put into the 401k and 50% of the next 2% that you contribute. So that means if you put in 4% of your salary, that's $4,000. Your employer is going to put in $3,000. That's an instant 75% return on your money. And it does amaze me how often I see that people at a minimum aren't, you know, at least maximizing that, you know, that matching contribution. So go to that summary plan description or ask your benefits people, what is the company matching? And are you contributing at a level that will, you know, that will maximize that? Beyond the beyond maximizing the matching contribution, you know, to the extent you can from a cash flow standpoint, you're allowed to put in up to $17,500 into your 401k plan this year. We'll talk in a moment. Once you reach a certain age, you're actually allowed to put in more than that. So what are some things you can do to try to get closer to that $17,500 limit? Well, if you're at a salary threshold, salary range where you expect your pay for the year is going to go above $117,000, well, that's the point in time where they no longer take Social Security tax out of your pay. So that's like getting a 6.2% bump in your pay. So pay attention to your pay stub and understand when you're going to be crossing that $117,000 threshold. And when that happens, bump up your 401k contribution for the rest of the year, because it won't affect your take-home pay. Your take-home pay will go up because they won't be taking the Social Security out anymore, and it'll go back down because you're going to bump up your 401k to make up for that. So that's a good thing to pay attention to squeeze some more dollars into your 401k. Another one to pay attention to, and I have heard Lori talk about this a number of times over the years, is, when you get your raise each year, use that opportunity. You know, and I know there are some years maybe when the raises don't come, but in a year when you have a good raise, a good bump in income, take advantage of that opportunity maybe to bump up the percentage that you're contributing to the 401k at that point in time. So that you can both bump up what's going into the 401k, and at the same time, you know, with the raise, your take-home pay is still going up a little bit. So those are a couple you know, little nuances to pay attention to try to squeeze, you know, every dollar you can in, you know, into the 401k plan. And, you know, this is important. I think I've said this before on the show. The 401k for most of us becomes our largest financial asset. In some cases, it's our largest asset for, you know, or our second largest asset next to our, you know, next to our house. So the 401k plan is critical to your long-term financial and retirement planning. So taking even little steps to try to squeeze some more money into it and are going to really pay off for you over the long term. Pay attention to when you turn age 50, not just because you're getting old, but at age 50, you are then allowed to put in an extra amount into your 401k plan. And I'm going to take a break for 1 second, and we have a question that's come in. The question is Jeff from Allentown. And the question is, if I start a new job and contribute a certain amount of cash to my 401k in a lump sum, will my employer be obligated to match the amount? The answer to the question, Jeff, and I'm not sure what the source of the lump sum is. Maybe the source is kind of a rollover coming in from a previous employer, or just maybe it's some cash you have in the bank. But the typical way that you would take advantage of the matching contribution is purely going to be based on the percentage of your salary that you put into the 401k plan. So if you in a particular month say to the employer, I want to dump a lump sum into the plan, and maybe it's 25% of your salary that month, they're still only going to match the portion under the plan rules that they match, the first couple percent of your salary. So it's a good question. We don't see a lot of people, other than rollovers, we typically don't see where people are dumping large amounts at one time into the 401k. It's typically the slow and steady wins the race, a few percent of your pay. But just make sure you understand what that employer match is and take full advantage of that. So we were talking about the age 50-year-olds. They are, if you're 50 or over, you are allowed to put a catch-up contribution into the 401k, so pay attention to that. It's, you probably get notified, but it's not going to happen automatically. You're going to have to take action to be contributing that additional catch-up contribution, which the amount in 2014 is $5,500. So the $17,500 that I mentioned earlier plus the $5,500 catch-up when you reach age 50 means you can put as much as $23,000 into your 401k plan in 2014. You don't have to wait until you turn 50 to start putting the catch-up contribution. As long as you're turning 50 this year, even if it's later in the year, you can start the catch-up contribution actually in advance of turning age 50. Quick side note here, there are also catch-up contribution rules for IRA accounts. So for you 50-year-olds and older, there's a catch-up contribution for IRAs that is $1,000 on top of the regular maximum IRA contribution for us under 50, which is $5,500. So if you recently started a new job, and you know, that kind of speaks to Jeff's question earlier, at a minimum, make sure you remember to enroll in the 401k plan. There's a lot going on when you start a new job, and you know, just remember to get that paperwork in or go online to do what you need to do to get enrolled, you know, into the 401k plan. It's amazing how I'll meet with people who started a job 6 months earlier, and I'll look at a pay stub and see that they're not even contributing yet, and they're allowed to under the plan rules, and they just, forgot about it, got busy with the new job, and just didn't get to it. So do that. So I have another pay attention, and this is for all you college graduates out there, you recent college graduates that are just kind of maybe starting what I'll call, quote unquote, your first real job after college. And, enroll in that 401k college graduates as soon as possible. And the point being here, the pay attention point is, get in the habit at a young age of paying yourself first. And we recently, a colleague of mine and I recently did a presentation to a group of high school seniors and told them we were going to teach them how by paying themselves first they could all eventually become millionaires. And it's true, if you can get in the habit that savings is part of your budget and you learn not to live on that, if you can start at 10% of your salary when you're right out of college and get that saved, you're really going to create a lot of wealth. Quick break, and I'll be right back.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Visit WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit WDIY.org.
Hi, everyone. Rod Young, CPA, CFP here from Valley National, hosting your financial choices. About a third of the way through the show, we've been talking about things to pay attention to in your financial life halfway through 2014 here. And it's great to be on the show. And the number to call if you have a question is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can email a question into yourfinancialchoices.com, and Judy Ann will pass your question on to me, and I'll try to answer it. So we've been paying attention to your employer 401k plan for the past 20 minutes, and we're going to pay attention to it for just a little bit longer. Another thing to find out, another question to ask regarding your 401k plan is, does it offer a designated Roth account? A Roth account is kind of, it's the 401k equivalent of a Roth IRA. There's some nuanced differences, but generally that's what it is. And whenever I'm working with a new client, one of the first questions I ask them about their 401k is, does it offer a Roth account? And quite often people have no idea. Plans are not required to offer a designated Roth account. Many plans do offer them. I am a huge fan of the Roth Roth IRAs and the designated Roth account within the 401k. The Roth account's a little different than your typical 401k contribution in that your typical contribution is pre-tax. It's saving you taxes currently. The Roth account is after tax. You're not saving any current taxes, but assuming you meet certain guidelines and rules going forward, you'll never pay tax on any of the growth versus the traditional contribution. When you use it sometime down the road in retirement, you pay tax on it. We've done whole shows on Roth versus pre-tax, and we'll do them again in the future. But number one, remember to ask the question, do we offer a designated Roth account? And if so, if the answer is yes, then it's time to try to investigate that a little further to see if making some of your contributions into the Roth account makes sense in your overall financial situation. If your plan doesn't offer a designated Roth account, I'd ask why, because I think it is a great feature of a 401k plan. Finally, on the 401k, just revisit your, and we're going to touch upon investment allocation in a little bit, but just revisit your overall investment allocation and educate yourself a bit what the investment options are. You know, pay attention by logging onto your 401k plan's website and looking at the tools that they have available. Some of them have rather powerful tools available that can help you doing some kind of basic asset allocation for yourself and some basic retirement planning for yourself. And so I really encourage you. You know, Fidelity administers a lot of 401ks, American Funds, Vanguard, and they typically have very powerful educational websites. So pay attention to those websites and log on to them and take a look at the information they're offering you. Another thing, talk to your financial advisor. This is the plug for financial advisors tonight. And see how your financial advisor might be able to help you in your 401k decision making. So that's those are the kind of the pay attention nuggets for your 401k tonight. So what's the next item on the on the mid-year financial checkup list to pay attention to? Well, I'm going to suggest that in addition to your employer's 401k, make sure you understand the other employee benefit programs that your employer is offering. Companies spend a lot of money on their benefit programs, and they spend it for a reason. They want to attract good people, they want to retain good people, and they want to provide you as an employee with resources to helping you with your overall financial needs. So I'm going to take a moment here to answer a question. And this is from Sam in Bethlehem, off air, and Judy Ann has written down the question and passed it off to me. So, Sam, I'll try to try to answer this for you. Semi-retired, 64 years old, to stay within the 15% tax bracket. He knows there is an income limit. With $36,900, which sounds about right for the single tax bracket for 2014. $36,900 sounds about right for where that 15% bracket ends, Sam. So the question is, what is the $10,150 extra that can be applied on top of that? How does that work, and how can he apply more but stay within that 15% tax bracket? So I'm not completely sure I understand the question and the $10,150 question. We all get a personal exemption, and then there is a standard deduction. And the personal exemption is, around $4,000. The standard deduction is a little over $6,000. So that might be the $10,150 that you're talking about, Sam. So what that would simply say is that if your gross income is $47,000, when you take out your standard deduction and your personal exemption, you're going to be down to the to $36,900 of taxable income. So the key for you would be, if your gross income is more than $47,000, the personal exemption and the standard deduction aren't going to take you down below that 15% tax bracket level. So you'll jump up into, for anything above $36,900 of taxable income, you'll bump up into the next to the next tax bracket, which is 25%. Sam, I don't know if I answered your question. I think the $10,150 you're referring to is a combination of the personal exemption and the standard deduction. If I haven't answered it, please feel free to call back or email us. Talking about things to pay attention to within your employer plans. As I mentioned, employers spend a lot of money on these plans, so take good advantage of them. So what are some of the ones you want to particularly take advantage of, because they're going to provide you with some immediate savings? Things like flexible spending accounts and dependent care accounts for child care expenses. Or health savings accounts. These are all vehicles that are going to allow you to put in money on a pre-tax basis. The flexible spending account's great. You can put in a couple thousand dollars into a flexible spending account. It reduces your taxable income for both income tax purposes and FICA tax purposes. And that money then can be used during the year to meet medical, qualified medical expenses. You have to do a little budgeting here because there are some use it or lose it provisions on a flexible spending account. So make sure you pay attention to those rules and do a little budgeting. But if you put $2,000 into a flexible spending account and you're in a 25% tax bracket, you know, the tax savings to you that year is, you know, $700. So that's not an insignificant sum of money. So those are some things to pay attention to with your employee benefit plans. One last little nugget for those of you that work for maybe a larger company whose stock is traded publicly. Many of those companies offer what's called an employee stock purchase plan, which gives you the ability to purchase up to $20,000 worth of stock at a 15% discount. So pay attention to that. We're going to take a quick break.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
Hi, everyone. Rod Young still here on your financial choices this evening. We're a little over halfway through the show. I've gotten a couple questions, which always helps with the show. I think makes it a little more kind of real and entertaining. So we've been talking about paying attention. By the way, just a reminder, the number to call, 610-758-8810. We'd love to take your call and answer your questions. We've been talking about paying attention to employer 401k plan and some of the nuances there, and paying attention to other benefit plans that are offered by your employer. I mentioned flexible spending account, where you get some real tax savings there this year by paying attention to that. Don't let that open enrollment period go by this fall without taking the time to sit down and estimate what you think your medical expenses are going to be, and take advantage of something like a flexible spending account. Group life insurance. What does the company provide there, and do they offer the ability for you to buy more? On a supplemental basis via payroll deduction. So make sure you understand that. I briefly mentioned employee stock purchase plan. You know, not many of us have those available to us, but if you work for a pretty good sized company, the chances are they do offer an employee stock purchase plan. And the main points to pay attention to there are, number one, there's a limit. I think it's $20,000, and typically the discount you can get on buying the company stock is 15%. So that's a pretty good discount. That could equate to $3,000 or more. And then to really pay attention to that kind of plan, when you sell the stock that you have purchased through an employee stock purchase plan, just make sure you familiarize yourself, you bounce it off your CPA. What are the tax consequences going to be? I'm thinking of selling some stock. I have some college tuition to pay or whatever. I want to pay some extra on my mortgage. I have some stock I've acquired over the past couple of years from my employer stock purchase plan. I like where the stock is now. I'm going to sell it. Make sure there's holding period rules there. There are qualified and non-qualified dispositions there. Doesn't necessarily mean non-qualified is bad and qualified is good. Just make sure you understand and ask the question and pay attention to the details of the tax treatment when you go to sell employee stock purchase plan, or often abbreviated ESPP. You know, pay attention to the tax rules on selling that stock. Many other things we can talk about on our pay attention list. I'm going to jump through my outline here a little bit, make sure I cover some things that I'd like to get covered. And I said there was no particular ordering to things. So I think I'm going to jump and say just, you know, your investments. Pay attention to your investments, whether it's your 401k plan or some IRA accounts you have, or maybe a brokerage account that you have. I want you to pay attention, and it's probably time, if you haven't done so recently, it's probably time to take a look at your portfolio and rebalance it. And so if there's one major takeaway you take from tonight's show, it's take a look at the portfolio and should you rebalance it. And why am I saying rebalancing might be so important for you right now? I think my point would be we've been fortunate the past few years. You know, obviously 2008 and 2009 were some devastating years in the market, but we've seen some incredible stock market growth since then. And if you look at the past 2.5 years, the S&P 500 in 2012 was up 16%. In 2013, it was up 32%. And in 2014, about 8%. These are approximate amounts. So over the past 2.5 years, in round numbers, the stock market, as gauged by the S&P 500, is up roughly 60% in 2.5 years. So there is a good chance that if 2.5 years ago your target asset allocation based on your risk tolerance was and based on your stage of your financial life, your target allocation was 70% stocks and 30% bonds. And here we are 2.5 years later, and you haven't done any rebalancing. There is a very good chance, given what the market has done the past couple of years, that you are out of balance. You could be at 80-20 now, or 85-15, or whatever. That might not be where you should be based on your risk tolerance. And I do find that risk tolerance is kind of a fluid thing for people. People's risk tolerance tends to go down when the market is going down, and we tend to have some short memories. And the risk tolerance seems to rise as we have a couple good years in the market. But I think, you got to go back to the plan. I'm a big fan of sticking to the strategy and sticking to the plan unless something has happened to warrant a change. And so rebalancing, paying attention to the rebalancing, because to me it's an investment discipline that many people ignore. And it really is a discipline that to some degree provides that you're selling high, because you're selling those asset classes that have done better over the past couple of years, and buying low, buying an asset class that has not performed as well the past couple of years. And so isn't that what we want to do? Sell high and buy low. And so that discipline of rebalancing really helps to accomplish that. So anyway, I wanted to touch upon that, just knowing what, excellent stock market returns we have seen the past couple years. Also, while on investments, and this is always an issue that is near and dear to my heart, because I have 4 kids and some of them are through college and some of them are in college. So pay attention to the allocation in your 529 college savings accounts. Many of these plans offer age-based models that are, the allocation changes, gets more conservative as the child gets closer to college age. And they offer these age-based models under several different risk profiles. They may have a conservative age-based model, a moderate age-based model, and a growth age-based model. And back in 2008 and 2009, a number of people came to me surprised by how much their 529 accounts were impacted. Accounts that were there for kids who were in high school and going to be starting college, within a year or two. So understand and pay attention to those age-based models that you're in your 529, and understand how much is, if you've got a high school junior or senior, make sure you do understand how much of the 529 account is at risk, because you're going to be using those dollars over the next couple of years. And I don't know when the next stock market correction or bad market is going to be. There will be one, and you want, particularly for those with high school age kids, you want that money more, in my opinion, more secure right now. So understand, pay attention to your allocation within your 529 accounts. Here's one that's, I know, one of Lori's favorite financial topics, and I think she did a show on cash flow a few weeks ago. And so one of the things to pay attention to, I'm going to call it, pay attention to your spending budget for what I kind of refer to as invisible expenses. And we all have those. And we can have a little fun with this, and I can even poke some fun at myself with this one. You know, and I, you know, for many of us, myself included, and here I am, a financial planner, you know, budgeting's a dirty word. Nobody likes to do it, but there is some value to it. And we've devoted entire shows on it in the past. We'll talk about it in the future. But paying attention to those invisible expenses, I think you'll really find some value there. So just what do I mean by this term invisible expenses? Well, you know, to me, these are those kind of regular monthly expenses that go on autopilot that we get into the groove of paying and we're not, you know, we get the bill and it's kind of close to what it was the previous month and we don't dig into it, and we send off a check, or no, we don't even send off checks anymore. We do our online banking, and we initiate the online bank payment, and boom, it's paid. So, or even worse, and I had this conversation with a client just a couple days ago. The whole idea of I love online banking. I'm a big fan of online banking, and I can count on one hand the number of checks I write in a month anymore. In some months, maybe even none. So I'm a big fan of the power of and flexibility and ease of online banking. So the conversation I had with the client was online banking versus automatic bill pay, where you actually set up all your bills to just be paid automatically without you even having to initiate the payment. And my take on it is that I'm a big fan of the online banking, but I am not, a huge fan, to be honest with you, of the of that automatic nature of the of paying the bills, because to me it just makes more and more of our bills and expenses that much more invisible, and it's that much easier to not pay proper attention to the cash that's going out the door. So that's my kind of opinion on it. And we all have those kind of expenses. Perfect example. Our home phone bill, our landlines. We don't have a working landline phone in the house. We do have landlines because we're using phone for internet service. But I happened to be looking at our landline phone bill not too long ago and realized that we're paying for call waiting. Well, that's something we set up, 10, 15 years ago, and it's a couple dollars a month. Well, we don't have, and haven't for several years, had a working phone, landline phone in the house. What the heck do we need call waiting for? And it's just one of those invisible expenses that, shame on me. Hey, I've been paying for it for a few years. Another one is and I don't mean to pick on the phone companies, the wireless, our wireless cell phone bill, and taking a look at the family allowance that we're paying for and realizing that we're not, coming anywhere near to using it, so we should drop it, or, we've been exceeding it every month and, paying some premium, above and beyond. So, again, paying attention and looking at some of these bills. I love satellite TV, I happened to notice a bill. This is about 6 or 12 months ago. I don't even get a paper bill anymore for this one. I usually like to get the paper bill, so this is one I get electronically. It's an email that says, your bill's ready, and I just look at the dollar amount and go to the online bank and pay it. So I happened to log into, the satellite TV and looked at the bill and saw the number of receivers I was paying for and realized that, three of them were not even in use anymore because kids that used to live in our house don't live there anymore because they've moved away. So, again, an invisible expense that we can. So when you start to add all of this up, and I do the math on. Oh, I have another good one, though, too. My daughter just started college a year ago, just finished her first year of college. So we're getting there, folks. And she's the youngest of my four. But she had a local fitness club membership that was direct debited. This is one of those automatic ones that I really am not a big fan of. Direct debited right out of our account every month. And now she's not even in the area anymore. And here we are, paying and to try to now I got to get her to go over to the club someday when she's back in the valley on the weekend or what have you to go over and stop the discontinue the membership. And it went on for several months. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 85 degrees with light rain falling. Tonight, heavy rain, lows around 70. Thursday, chance of showers, highs around 85. Friday and Saturday, sunny skies with highs each day around 85 degrees. The time now is 6:46 p.m. Now back to your financial choices.
Hello, everybody. Rod Young here on Your Financial Choices, hosting for Lori Siebert, who's off on vacation this week. Lori, if you happen to be listening, I hope you're having a great vacation. I hope you're not listening. I hope you're just enjoying yourself wherever you are. So anyway, we are here talking about things to pay attention to. By the way, we are coming down the home stretch here, but we still have time if you have a question. So just a quick reminder on that phone number to call with a question, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Judy Ann is here. Ask her the question, she'll pass it to me, or you can, go live on the radio with me. So we've talked about a bunch of things to pay attention to as part of a mid-year financial checkup, and I've been poking some fun at myself the past few minutes, talking about what I refer to as invisible expenses. And one last one I just thought I'd throw out there is as my wife and I are talking about our spending and our budget, and we have a direct debit every month for the rental of a small storage unit that we have. We haven't visited that storage unit in I couldn't tell you how long. The reason we have the storage unit is because what we have learned as our kids have gotten older is that your children do eventually move out as they graduate college, but their stuff doesn't go with them. It stays. So that is what prompted us to, what am I going to do with the Olympic weights and bench and set that my son, who's in Idaho working on a PhD, he's not taking those weights and that bench across the country. So things like that ended up in this storage unit. There's a whole wall of Lego blocks from when the boys were really little. And it's an automatic direct debit out of our bank account every month. I think it's time for us to performed the duty of driving over to that unit and considering clearing that out, considering some of that stuff I know has been in there for, you know, for a few years. So again, these hidden expenses, this one is hidden to me because it's just this direct debit that just kind of happens every month. And that's why, hey, online banking, great, automatic payment every month. I'm just not sold on that. I'd like to be in control of what I'm paying and the timing of when I'm paying it, rather than putting it all on autopilot. So, if I add up just the few items that I talked about over the past few minutes in terms of hidden expenses of mine, and I know we all have them. Everybody listening tonight knows they have them. It's probably $300-$400 a month just in these couple items that I've mentioned. So that's, you know, $4,000-$5,000 a year. I just gave myself the equivalent of an $8,000 raise. So if I could actually go home and act upon these things, it would be, financially, valuable, to me. So take a look at that stuff. Let's see, what else can we talk about here in terms of paying attention to things in your financial life? We talked earlier. This is one I like a lot, and it's actually one that I find that a lot of financial people out there aren't aware of this, and that is to pay attention to Roth IRAs. I mentioned earlier that I am a big fan of Roth accounts, and I talked a little bit about paying attention in your employer's 401k plan to whether or not it offers a Roth account inside the 401k plan. But, you know, Roth IRAs are a great vehicle, and you can still be thinking about Roth IRA conversions. And there's I'd like to think of Roth IRA conversions as either tactical or strategic. And so a Roth IRA conversion can be a something that you should take a look at each year with your tax advisor. It may not make sense for you, but it might. So don't forget about things like Roth IRA conversions. Another thing with Roths is there is, and this is my big pay attention on the Roth accounts, is there's what I call a back doorway of getting an annual IRA contribution into a Roth IRA. Many people aren't allowed to put money into a Roth IRA directly because their income is over a threshold that, prohibits you from putting money into a Roth. That doesn't mean you can't get money into the Roth IRA. And so there is a backdoor strategy where you make a contribution, an after-tax contribution to a traditional IRA, and then convert that over to a Roth IRA. The rules are a little bit complex. This is one of those ones, you see the television commercials, don't attempt this yourself. The rules are complex here, so we do it for a lot of clients. We advise a lot of people about this. It works in certain circumstances, and it allows people who thought perhaps that they weren't allowed to get money into a Roth IRA because of their income level, it allows you to get money into the Roth. So I think that is something to pay attention to in your long-term retirement planning. The next item on the pay attention list, we got a few minutes left, so I think we can cover a couple more items here. Here's one I'm gonna jump to, and this is a pay attention for married couples out there. And over the many years I've been doing this for a long time, folks. Been a financial planner, for many, many years, going back to the late 1980s. So, and I have found quite often, not always, but it is not uncommon that with married couples, there's one spouse who I'm going to refer to as quote unquote the financial spouse, and the other spouse who is the non-financial spouse. And it very often I hear, the financial spouse kind of handles all of the personal finances, and the non-financial spouse knows, you know, very little about the family finances. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's a terrible thing, but what I would offer out to you, you married folks out there, is that that's okay to a point, but perhaps there should be, what I'll call an annual review, where the financial spouse kind of goes over the family finances with the non-financial spouse. And yeah, I'll raise my hand here. I'm the financial spouse, and my wife's the non-financial spouse. So the reason I encourage people to do this is, what if something happens to the financial spouse? That's the plain and simple reason that while the non-financial spouse doesn't have to be involved in the nuts and bolts of the day-to-day finances and the investment strategy and the retirement strategy and all that, they should have enough knowledge, because if something happens to the financial spouse, they should be able to at least have some knowledge of the personal financial situation, so that they can kind of step in relatively seamlessly and begin to take things over. And, you know, I've worked with many people over the years where a spouse has died, and, you know, we're helping them to understand their overall, you know, financial situation. So what are some things that you can do as part of this annual review? You know, just a simple summary in a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet, a review of these are our assets. These are the accounts we have. These are what they're worth. These are our basic monthly bills and expenses. Here's a good one. Just, you know, go over the joint tax return with your non-financial spouse. You know, just make sure they understand all the pieces of the tax return. And I know I'm going to be in trouble here when I get home, because if my wife is listening, sometimes she is, sometimes she's not. The first thing she'll say when I walk in is, "So when are we going to have that annual financial review?" So, in all seriousness, it's not an uncommon situation. At its core, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I do think it is incumbent and important that the financial spouse kind of make sure that the non-financial spouse has a decent big picture overall view of what the family's finances are. So, and then, you know, in our last three or four minutes here, last but not least at all, again, no particular order, it can never hurt to kind of pay attention and do an estate planning checkup. So what do I mean by that? This deals with your wills and your powers of attorney and living wills and health care directives and all of those documents. Number one, do you have a will? If you don't, it's something you probably need to have. Some people's situation relatively simple, but a will covers a lot of different important areas. And so, by revisiting the plan, if you don't have one, if you don't have a will, by all means, you should think about having one. But more often than not, what I see, this is the most common situation I see, is somebody who has a will that was done, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when there were a bunch of minor children and the asset picture was very different and the laws were different and the will's been hidden in a drawer somewhere, if you can even find it. It's hidden somewhere. People don't even know where it is. People who you've named in it to assist in with your estate and with your kids, if something happens to you, they don't know where it is. So find it, blow the dust off of it, and read it to refresh your memory as to what was in it. And I know this all sounds really basic, but I know this is just one of those areas of planning that people tend to be, maybe what I'll say, is a little less comfortable dealing with. And so it just kind of gets shoved by the wayside. So check out those wills, and check out those other estate planning documents. And then you're done, right? Wrong. So just because you've pulled them out, read them, maybe even updated them, that does not mean you're done with your estate planning checkup. And here is the pay attention part that I want you to take away from the show tonight. And that is the most important part then comes when you look at how you own your assets. Are they owned jointly? Are they owned individually? Are they owned in trust? And look at what your beneficiary designations are, because you can have the greatest estate documents in the world, and if you haven't titled your assets and put your beneficiary designations in line with those documents, the documents aren't going to work the way you want them to. So that's the pay attention moment on the estate planning. Beneficiary designations and asset titling after you're done blowing the dust off the will. So we're coming to the end of the show. Appreciate the calls we had tonight. It's always great to be here. I will be back. So as Lori would say, pay attention. Be proactive, not reactive, and she'll be back next week. Have a great night, folks.